This is the technical difficulties we're playing Citation Needed. Joining me today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Joel.
Hey, all.
Everybody's favourite, Gary Brannan. Gary Brannan.
Pawn free as your mum blows.
And the bounciest man on this stage, Matt Gray.
Hello, you lot.
In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact they get right is a point and a ding, and the special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Sister Resistance! Oh, yeah.
What have we done?
And today we are talking about the Ice Block Expedition of 1959.
Is this like King Knut holding back the tide? Trying to stop it melting by sheer force of will.
Whose will?
Well, this is the problem with the expedition. They couldn't find enough people called Bill, Will and William, or Willis, to take along, which is why it's failed, which is why the ice caps are still melting.
Well, that's called the old like, bread-making hands, and they're all too warm. You seem to be pastry hands to do that when they're all cold, don't you?
What?
Oh, for the love of... Look. If you've got bread-making hands, you've got warm hands, because you need a warm hands to activate the yeast. If you've got cold hands, you've got pastry-making hands, because that keeps the pastry cold, and the butter doesn't melt, dickhead.
So if you've got bread making hands, you can melt dickheads.
Yes.
You're like a superpower. No.
Shittiest superhero ever.
Bread making hand man.
Bell end melter. Somebody would pay for that. The thing is, you know that, don't you?
This was a publicity stunt. In fact, it was called the biggest publicity stunt the world had ever seen.
Was this a beverage company trying to serve their drinks with Arctic Ice or something like that?
I'm going to give you a point for Arctic Ice because it was started from...
So this is a no, isn't it? But I'm getting a point somewhere.
That's like a teacher at school. Yes. Has anyone else got any suggestions?
Well, you're right about Arctic Ice, but it was not a beverage company.
Was it one of these mad things where they were going to, like, irrigate the Kalahari or something?
Oh!
Get it! It wasn't irrigation, but it was an attempt to get an ice block from the Arctic Circle to the equator.
For the lulls.
For the publicity.
Just get a cool box.
How big's your cool box? I mean, I know you eat a lot of pies, but...
So what kind of company would want to do a publicity stunt by moving ice all that distance over land to the equator?
Over land?
Over land.
Over land?
A fridge company.
Haulage company.
To show the beneficiary of the... Oh, asbestos company. Show how good the asbestos is.
It's not asbestos, but it's insulation.
You keep giving us points and saying it's not what we say.
It's a Norwegian insulation company. I'm going to give you a point, because if there wasn't asbestos in that, I'll be very surprised. And frankly, if there is asbestos in it, they will have been very surprised.
Not until about 25 years later. Yeah.
It was made from glass wool, made from fiberglass.
Glass wool.
This was inspired by a radio station. In 1958, which radio station would have put up a challenge like that?
The BBC World Service.
No, very much the opposite.
The ITV World Service.
What
brought up in the 80s?
What would the ITV World Service be? Because that's basically just...
Less Anton Deck.
Yeah.
To be fair, that sounds like something ITV and Anton Deck would do now, wouldn't it? We're going to transport a block of ice to the equator live, stripped over 2 weeks' worth, and you'd vote off which bit of ice you don't like. Any ITV commissioners? 25%, yeah?
Now, you say it's a radio station. May it have been Yar, one that's beyond a boat?
Well, it was certainly beyond our borders. It was Radio Luxembourg.
Oh!
Who launched a challenge to transport 3 tons of ice from the Arctic Circle to the equator.
It's like, let's say this, see if anyone does it.
And then it's one of those awful things where someone turns upon your doorstep with 3 tons of ice from the Arctic.
Wacky radio challenge!
What was the prize they were going to award for this?
A car!
Someone who works in radio.
A shitload of tonic.
Oh. I mean, you could buy that with this.
Free drinks all around.
More ice.
$1 million.
Oh. 100,000 francs.
You're doing it again.
No. I'm getting getting there, I'm getting there.
No thing. What is this?
Per kilo that made it to the Arctic.
Ah. Whoa.
So theoretically, that was anything up to 300 million francs, if I've done my maths right. But if someone actually managed to get the 3 tons of ice there and suddenly, oh, an insulation company's got involved, they started being very worried.
Yeah. How did they get the ice out of the Arctic? Did they take a digger or something?
You know, so, when you've got an ice lolly and you lick one bit and it goes in, they're just licking down your square.
Oh,
tons
what?
Of Norwegian men, hands and knees. Can you not do that while you're sat next to me? Your mum's in.
They actually got it out from a glacier in 200 kilo blocks. What do they use? What do you use to remove that much ice?
Spoon. Big f***ing hammers.
No. No.
Chainsaw.
I knew you'd get that because you have a chainsaw license, don't you?
Not since October.
Oh.
So you're all slightly safer in your beds. But when we had that absinthe and chainsaw night last week, you told me you were fully qualified.
Once you're drunk, you don't need to be qualified. It all becomes much more natural. To be fair, I don't think Leatherface from the horror movies really had a license for that. It's not a requirement.
Yeah, but you see what happened? You see what happened?
That's fair.
Is that like Al Capone? Is that what they got him on?
So, yes, 200 kilo blocks melted together to make a single block of ice weighing 3,050 kilos. Now, I'm setting this up specifically for Gary. What was the container they constructed it made from?
Iron!
Correct!
There's two little squirrels in my head. One was saying, say iron, the other was saying, say anything else.
Yes, they placed it on top of a truck that would carry it all the way to the equator, accompanied by what?
Two of every animal.
Gin in a big tanker behind it.
That's fair. A film crew, sadly. Where did they go? They started
the equator.
Well, yes, okay.
Points.
I'm not giving you a point for that. They started near the Arctic. Well, they started in the Arctic Circle.
Where? Norway, Arctic.
Norway, yes.
Oh, cheating bastards.
How is that cheating?
I don't know. I had this thing that they'd gone all the way to the North Pole and done it.
No, Arctic Circle to equator. Arctic Circle.
Right, I had it in my head. I had an image of an iron tanker with the North Pole sticking out.
You can just get a budget flight to the Arctic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but can you imagine the carry-on fees with three tons of ice?
Slice it, in one in each seat.
Just have refrigerated pockets on a fishing vest and take it bit by bit.
That's how you get past Ryanair charges, isn't
it?
Just
wear all the ice.
Yeah. So the first stop was Oslo, which seems a sensible place.
Yeah.
What would be needed near the equator at Libreville, where they finished?
Food.
Not quite. Certainly something that was needed for people who live there.
Vaccines. Yeah. Medicine.
Matt gets the point. Absolutely right. 300 kilos of medicines. So obviously they can keep them cold. They've got ice.
Oh, God. I didn't think of using the ice to transport something. I thought you just meant something else that was along for the ride.
No, the medicines go off in the heat, so suddenly they had a lot of ice.
Within it, was there a horror from beyond time that had yet to be unfrozen as well?
Half a flying saucer.
Yeah.
Not even stopped, just carried on cutting with a chainsaw. There's another one.
I hate to set the joke up, but your mum's in.
Hey!
Okay, right, no.
Oh, she is in. All right.
What happened in Belgium?
The customs.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, what did they not have?
Ice.
Right. A license to carry ice.
Yeah, absolutely right. They didn't have a customs declaration for it.
Concealed carry for an ice cube. Sorry, sir, I can see you are dripping there.
Yeah, absolutely right. There was no customs declaration for the ice.
Anyway, you can see it. It's tons of ice.
It was. How do you solve something like that?
You melt it.
Disguise it as a circus.
No, just a mustache and a stick-on nose. Yeah. And this is Steve. Hurry up, Steve.
He don't say much.
No, a customs official just accompanied them all the way, so officially it never entered Belgium.
To make sure they didn't import illegal ice.
Yes.
Wait.
What if a Belgian ran up and had a lick?
What is it with me and licking?
You should see me in the freezer. You shouldn't see me in the freezer.
That's why you're banned from Iceland, isn't it?
Both the country and the supermarket.
Can you imagine the recursive nature if they had a branch of Iceland in Iceland?
I mean, they just call it England, and it's just, you know, the freezers don't work and everything's twice as expensive as it was a month ago. There
hey!
We go.
Satire.
They got to Paris. The crew were invited to dine with...
The president.
The mayor. I'll give you a point. It's close enough.
No, it's not.
Gary.
On the scale of civic
dignity... Do you want the point?
I don't want bullshit points. Right. Down at the bottom, you have mayor, and up here, you have le président. I was talking the cheese, by the way.
So, all right.
Having dinner with, not of.
Yeah. The mayor, the president. God's sake, never get you into international diplomacy.
I think none of us should ever be in international diplomacy.
Fair cop. Yeah.
Yes, from Paris they continued to Marseille, and it was lifted aboard a freighter that sailed to Algiers. How much water had melted by the point they got to the Sahara?
None. Ice melts into water.
You're not having biscuits for that. How much ice had melted by the time they got it to the Sahara?
20%.
An oomph.
Oh, it's a good fraction. You can't lose there.
Can't be wrong now.
Well, Gary wins. So.
Well, the thing is, no, you're actually close. It was only 4 litres. Out of all of that, less than 1,000... So about 1,000...
I didn't actually say anything. Did nobody notice
zero.
That?
You said zero, so you're closer.
Yeah, but I said an oomph. That's undefinable.
We got any mathematicians in? Of course we've got some mathematicians in. Who gets the point?
Chris
gets the point.
Bastard.
What were the instructions they got as they went across the Sahara?
Go west.
Life is peaceful.
Matt, I know you're not good at directions.
If he was doing directions, he'd have said go right.
Or left. What was the main danger in the Sahara at that point?
Being shot.
Yet again, Chris. Absolutely right.
Was there a war on?
There was. There were forces hiding in the mountains.
Did we start it?
Huh?
Did we start it?
We weren't even alive, Matt. I don't think any of us could have started it.
The advice was, no stops. Drive for your lives, even if you get a flat tyre.
Cool.
You see, they don't have that in the driving test, do they?
Maybe if you go to Saharan Africa, they do.
To be fair, there was a wonderful question, because I did my theory test last year.
Yeah.
And one of the questions is, what do you do if you are driving through a tunnel, but your car is on fire, but your car is still drivable?
Get the f*** out of the tunnel.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. If your car is drivable, get out, because otherwise you're going to kill other people.
I'm going to be dead honest, and I don't want that to happen to anybody ever, but shit, that'd look good.
It's the book.
Just gunning out of a tunnel in flames, and you're going, I'm doing good!
Yeah, but it's when you're listening to Matt Munro and there's a bulldozer at the far end anyway.
You're going to have to...
Wow, 5 people here have seen the Italian job.
So you've driven your burning car out of the tunnel, then you've got to somehow get out of it with the most panache you can.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be worried about panache at that point. Wow.
As we all know, the driving test is rated on style, control, damage and aggression. Yeah. Okay, so just for the reference, Italian job, no. Robot Wars, yes.
Yes.
That's fine. That's fine.
We found our level.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What were we talking about?
They were crossing the Sahara. They were crossing the Sahara on the ice block expedition of 1959. They had taken a block of ice from the Arctic Circle. They'd made it to the Sahara. They met a tribe that lived there. And how did they greet them? What did they give them for...
Hugs.
Water pistol fight. A bit one-sided, but you know.
You're close.
Water.
Yes, absolutely right. They gave the camels water from the container. The commentary...
Did a camel get its tongue stuck to the big block of ice while they were doing it?
I believe they had a small spigot on the bottom that could drain the...
Oh, good use of the word spigot, Tom.
Spigot.
What would be in the water, given what it's insulated in?
Oh, fiberglass.
Yes, absolutely right. But in the entire trip across the Arctic, they lost... How much water?
8 litres.
10.
Say any number.
A camel's worth. Chris gets it, 96 litres. It's about a camel's worth. That feels about right. And who did they meet? We're looking for a very famous physician.
Dr. Jones? Dr. Jones?
Colin. Aqua.
Aqua! What I like is that you could hear the ripple of people getting that kind of spread about. No, Albert Schweitzer.
I have never heard that phrase.
That rings a bell for some reason, but I don't know why.
A French-German theologian, organist, philosopher and physician.
Is organist a subcategory of physician?
What did Norway send to Schweitzer's hospital?
Supplies.
I mean, supply. Yeah, okay, I'm going to need you to narrow that down.
Because the water melted, some fish to swim in it.
Oh!
No, piss off.
Fish. Gary, you keep accidentally saying something that's close enough. What would Norway send? Half a ton of fish. But
of course.
What kind? What kind of...
Pickled herring.
Oh!
That didn't go off.
There we go. Close enough, klipfisk.
Oh, no. That's
dried... That actually got an from someone who's clearly eaten that in the audience. Dried and salted cod.
He's in the middle of the Sahara.
Yeah.
He's got a doctor served in the middle of the Sahara.
Yeah.
And Norway thinks it's cool...
No, it's Gabon, so they're already
Gabon, okay, okay. But Norway thinks it's cool to send a load of very salty fish to a very dry part of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
What utter balance.
I bet that'd smell nice in 50 degree heat.
Yeah. But what's in the box? We've been waiting for months for this. Christ! What is wrong with them?
First of all, they made it. That's the important thing. They got there. It was called the greatest publicity stunt of all time. They delivered 90% of that ice without melting to Libreville. A representative of the insulation company met them in Libreville.
Having, did you go with them?
No, having taken the short route.
Coward.
He was a friend of someone, and we talked about him earlier, and you got a point despite the fact you shouldn't have.
The mayor of Paris.
Oh, you... That was... That
Squirrel
was
1, say answer, Squirrel 2.
That was a half-court shot, and it sailed through the air, and it sailed through the air, and then it just bounced off the rim.
Yes. Tom, never use the phrase off the rim in my presence.
Anyone else want to get the point for that?
The president.
Absolutely right. President Charles de Gaulle was a friend of that representative.
Did he fly there?
What, the...
Paul Knight.
De Gaulle.
Just let it run. Oh.
Yes. He came with an offer. What did the representative of that company say to the expedition that had got all the way there, that had found that, they got that ice, got it there, almost entirely intact?
What time do you call this?
Could you just bob it back up to Paris for us?
He said that if the crew were willing to drive it back to Paris, the president himself would receive them under the Arc de Triomphe. Receive is not a euphemism in that context.
Or so you think.
What did they say to that offer?
Nah.
Absolutely right. They were exhausted. They said no. They said that is it. They flew home. They left the ice there with the citizens, and it was called the greatest publicity stunt of all time.
Did they then properly go around Radio Luxembourg's front door, rap on the door with a bill?
Radio Luxembourg withdrew the offer.
What? Utter
before the expedition set off.
What utter imagine that. You've got there. Radio Luxembourg, I believe I'm rich.
To be fair, they did withdraw it when before the expedition set off, when it was being planned. They said they were just joking, that wasn't what they had in mind.
And they still
a radio show has never done that before.
And on that note, everyone here gets free mystery biscuits. Yay! Good luck. On that, congratulations, Gary. You win the show. And,
bracing, go on.
You win a tour around a giant underground laboratory designed to accelerate flatulence close to the speed of light.
No.
It's a farticle accelerator. With that, we say thank you to Chris Jewell. to Gary Brennan, to Matt Gray. I've been Tom Scott, and we will see you after we walk off, pretend it's the end of the show, and walk back on again.